Hi and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. We are on episode 7 of season 2. With me, as always, is producer Dodds. How are you, Dodds?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm in a really good mood today.
I'm feeling that both of us are sharing a positive vibe today, which is good. A good day to do the podcast.
Very good. I'm in such a good mood.
I think so. We're getting back in the gym, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And for reasons of not just health, but also wellness and well-being.
Yeah. I know if I go to the gym, then that allows me 2 extra mince pies. You see, it's like an exact one and the other. I can even not have the mince pies, so I can have 2 extra mince pies. So
gym to mince pie ratio is on.
Yeah.
But for me, I like to go to the gym, especially at this time of year, because it just makes, one, it helps me sleep better because it's quite cold at the moment and I struggle. And two, just makes me feel like I'm more energized throughout the day. So feeling good at the minute, feeling really good, even though the nights are darker and it's cold and... But yeah, all good. First thing we're going to do is do a little recap on a few episodes ago about how social media is impacting our lives. So we've got some updates for you there. Then we're going to jump into the news about things that we've noticed across social, but also that merges into the offline world as well. Then, because I got dead excited, we're also going to be talking about and reviewing the next round of Christmas ads. We're going to see who's going to be getting our Sprouts or Puds.
I enjoyed doing those last week.
Probably
my favourite bit of the podcast last week.
I did too. And we've got some crackers this week. We're going to talk the big one. So listen out for that. And then finally, my main topic of the week has come from something that inspired us from what was National Singles Day last week. That's something that's originated in China. And then since then, done a bit of research into China and technology advances that I wanted to share with you because I think it's really important if we're going to keep at the forefront of what's possible, which is what Social Chain's main existence is for, is to know what's happening with technology in China, where they're really leading the way, what they're doing, how people are shopping and advances in online retail. So we're going to share some of those things with you, which I find super fascinating. So I hope you enjoy too. Shall we jump straight in? First thing that we wanted to update you on was the KSI versus Logan Paul fight. Eddie Hearn has come out and declared that the fight was the most viewed live fight that DAZN have put on so far. And he also said that it did more UK pay-per-view bookings this year. That is even beating Anthony Joshua's fight, even though the fight was half the price. Why are we talking about this? We're talking about this because it highlights the importance that influencers have on society and how mainstream media now should look to see how they could utilise these massive YouTube and influencer stars because of their impact that they have on the main world, everything else outside of the social world. They've got such amount of influence and following that they can change the way that we view other media. So it's an important point to look at how the sporting world and the influencer world have combined and how that could impact other parts of our lives. 2 weeks ago, when we first discussed this story, the petition was on 800,000 signatures. It's now risen to 3 million people, and with celebrity backing from the likes of Kim Kardashian, Rihanna, T.I., Busta Rhymes, and a load of other celebrities. The pressure of that was so much that he's been granted an extra 120 days and a re-examination of the case. The case has not been opened yet, but what we think is that in this 120 days, there's going to be efforts towards reopening the case. Also, hundreds of events are now being hosted around the US to raise more awareness and increase the pressure. Can't imagine that Netflix are going to be far behind this story, seeing as they've covered other similar stories in similar veins. Kim Kardashian's come out to say that the mood was extremely emotional, and she was there when Rodney Reed was granted a stay of execution amid her ongoing prison reform efforts. So she's obviously leading the charge in this, shows how social has got the power to potentially save a man's life. And if it reopens the case and he gets everything looked at and then he is found not guilty of this crime, social media will have gone a long way to help save someone's life, which is incredible. Now it is time for our new stories of the week. First story that we want to cover is the Instagram likes being removed. And if you have seen Steve Bartlett, our CEO and founder, he was on Yahoo News talking about this topic just last week. He articulates it to perfection, so I'm not going to try and cover it, but I'd encourage you to watch what he said in that interview. Influencers are obviously really annoyed because it's going to be harder for them to tell brands how influential they are when Instagram remove likes. It's also really hard to track who is faking and who is not now, so it's going to be harder for us as marketers to know whether influencers have influence or not. Instagram have begun to hide the number of users who've liked a photo for some accounts in the US in an ongoing effort to make the platform a less stressful experience. But the other storyline here is that Instagram obviously want you to post more and post more rather than posting on your stories because they can serve more ads to you. The more content that's there, the more inventory there is, the more opportunity there is for ads to be served to you. And this could be the success of hiding likes from a business perspective. But again, if you want to have a little bit more information from it, I'd encourage you to watch the interview that Steve did. It is on his LinkedIn, but also we'll share it on mine so you can have a watch. He did ask the head of Instagram of how they would measure success, of whether this was a good move or not. What they said that they would do is monitor it by surveys, but no real detail of people that they were going to survey, how they were going to monitor it, and how they were going to share that information. So it seems a bit woolly to me. Next news story is the backlash from the Prince Andrew interview that went out on TV. And the important part in this, why are we talking about this on a social media marketing podcast, is because social media is a hub for where people go to when they want to talk about a topic, when they want to complain, when they want to argue about different sides. And we as an agency offer our clients crisis management. And this to me is textbook how not to manage a crisis. It looks like Prince Andrew has just gone out and done it himself, which is what a ex-PR executive for the royal family has also come out and said, that it looks like he's just gone ahead without any sort of advice. For us, what we like to try and do in a PR crisis is make sure that everyone is fully informed, that everyone is saying the same thing, and that you are prepped and prepared. This does not look like that happened. He's saying that he doesn't remember where he was in 2001, but then can remember on specifically one date that he was in a Pizza Express, which then has made people not believe him. And loads of people then have jumped on the bandwagon and given Pizza Express reviews from that date. So it's obvious that there's been no preparation and no thought behind that. And there's going to be a little bit more work to do, because now he's not got the public trust. It's now being called to go to America to talk to the authorities about his friendship with Epstein. So it's a classic case of how not to do crisis management. Christmas is getting ever closer, and last week saw the launch of the highly anticipated John Lewis ad, and excitable Edgar came into our lives. We're going to do a bit of a review of it because I feel like I've got a different opinion to many people out there about this advert. Excitable Edgar is here, not just on our screens, but also in the form of books, wellies, slippers, toys, pajamas, and in the collaboration with Waitrose, the Christmas pudding. He also launched his own Snapchat filter. Initial reaction to the ad was very positive, with 100% positive sentiment, which is absolutely unheard of. And on launch day, which was last Thursday, there were 53,000 mentions of John Lewis in the advert. But I think that that anticipation was much higher than the actual reaction to the execution, because in just 4 days, that's dropped down from 53,000 to just 1,000 mentions. So obviously people have seen it, got excited that it was coming out. We know that people sit at home and wait for Christmas ads to come out, especially the John Lewis one. But this one for me has just followed the formulaic model that they have done year after year. They've taken a song and reinvented it. They've created a character that we're meant to feel emotion for. We've added children in there to make you feel like it's Christmassy. It just misses the mark a little bit for me. It's just, I expect more from John Lewis now. They're the ones that break the mold, or they have traditionally broken the mold. Will I remember this ad in years to come? I don't think I will. I'm not a fan of the fact that it's picking up on differences in people and how Edgar is pretty much disliked by his community right up until the very end. The warmth isn't there for me. As soon as he walks in with that pudding, he then lights the pudding and then everyone likes him. But before that, even 2 seconds before, they all dive under the table to avoid him. So for me, there's no warmth. The Asda ad offers a lot more warmth with its creative than this John Lewis ad. And also there's been quite strong claims of plagiarism. Whether there's been inspiration taken from this or not, there is a book and the author has come out to say that Excitable Edgar has been copied from her book. I will leave you to decide whether you think that that is the case or not. But overall for me, do you know what I'm going to give it? 2 Christmas puds. 2. I'm not a fan. It's not my favourite ad. It's nice. Doesn't evoke any emotion in me. And to me, it doesn't give the warmth that it should do. Moving on from one ad that I think played it safe to another that I think are pushing boundaries. The IKEA ad is a complete move away from any traditional Christmas ad. It's taken the insight of home shaming around Christmas when you've got people that come in to visit but you're not ready. And it's also used the rapper DEE to create something that's really caught the inspiration of a younger audience on social. And we've seen that through the sentiment as the ad's gone out. So for me, IKEA have done a cracking job. We think that they're going to try and release the song to compete to try and be Christmas number one. Whether it will be, who knows? But for me, they've really thought about who they're trying to talk to when they've created this ad. They've not followed everyone else. They've taken a real bit of actionable insight to create something that has real meaning and really sinks home when you watch it. So for me, I'm going to give them 4 Christmas puds. The final ad that we want to review might not be one that you've seen yet, but it is quickly becoming Dodds and I's favourite ad of the season so far. And it's been made by filmmaker Phil Beistall, who created an ad last year that has been viewed by over 50 million people. And he has built something this year that I think will do the same, if not more. It's an advert all about relationships, and you see this long distance relationship build. You get into their world, you see their little in jokes through the text messages that they send. And then on Christmas Day, this guy's boyfriend comes and it surprises him and proposes to him. It's a lovely advert. It's got real emotion behind it. It makes you feel something, which is what we've talked about the power of Christmas ads. It's got no brand associated to it, but he's only got 2,000 subs on YouTube, but it has been picked up by every major news outlet as the film and the advert of the season, and the view numbers are just going to grow exponentially because of that. It just goes to show that you don't need a massive budget to make something meaningful at Christmas time and get cut through and share a voice in a time when people are spending millions to make something that's not as impactful, in my view. Excitable Edgar. The main topic of this week is something that I find absolutely fascinating. It is, I shouldn't say this, but the robots are coming.
Not to be dramatic.
And not to be dramatic, but I'm dead excited. The single biggest shopping event of the year happened last week, and you've probably never heard of it. $38 billion was spent on this day alone, with 200,000 brands getting involved. What is it? Well, it's Singles Day, launched in China as the competitor to Valentine's Day. November the 11th, 1111, is a day that was created for people in China to celebrate themselves. This has started rolling out into the Western world, and I noticed that brands like ASOS were getting on the back of it. And I have never seen such a phenomenon in my life where people were just spending billions of dollars on things, on themselves, on that one day. Singles Day was launched as an anti-Valentine's Day by students in China as a way of celebrating their singledom. It was then adopted by Alibaba, which is the Chinese competitor to Amazon, who have taken it and absolutely exploded it. To put it into some context, the biggest day of purchasing that we know of is Amazon Prime Day, which did $5.8 billion in sales in one day. Compare that to Singles Day, which did $13 billion sales in the first hour alone. that got us thinking, what else is China doing in terms of tech and trends that we should be keeping an eye on? What is going to be coming into our world in 2020? I have been keeping a really close eye on the CNBC East Tech West conference that's happening right now to see what they're talking about in China, what technologies they're talking and pushing, which topics are they talking about. And I'm going to cover some of those now because there's some really interesting points that has come out of it. First area that I found really fascinating is artificial intelligence. We have seen that we've started developing that in our country with the likes of filters on Instagram and also being able to buy things with your phone. But China have got a massive ambition. By 2030, they want to be the world leader in AI, making it a trillion yen industry. How are they going to do that? They're going to focus on face recognition, speech recognition, self-driving vehicles, and also medical diagnoses, which I think is absolutely fascinating, that something could look at you and diagnose you without you having to go and see a doctor. So there's definite movements in the AI space coming from China that we've got to keep an eye on. The next thing that I want to talk about is robots. And one of the biggest e-commerce companies in the whole world, JD.com in China, who actually ship 57 billion of the 81 billion parcels that were shipped last year, have come out and said that they want to look at how to make that process smoother by using robots. And they're looking at how to build underground tunnels within smart cities to help deliver products quicker. But in the meantime, they're looking at how they can use robots to deliver parcels on the ground. What this shows is that the brand are not just thinking about efficiencies when it comes to parcel delivery, they're also thinking about how the brand is represented through technology. A super, super fascinating development in technology for me. The UK are looking at something similar, and a British startup company are looking at how they can build meter-wide tubes underneath or next to our motorways and underneath cities that will then deliver parcels and groceries through a magnetic motor. So keep an eye out. 2020, we're going to see more efficiency in terms of parcel delivery. For sure. Next area is fintech, and China are definitely leading the charge in terms of fintech. Yes, here we've got Apple Pay and we can use our phones to buy things. The way that China are using Alipay and WeChat Pay to help facilitate finances in more general terms is a really interesting opportunity for fintech. The way that China are using Alipay and WeChat Pay is a really interesting development in terms of fintech. So what they're doing is allowing consumers to bypass banks in some extent by allowing them to look at mini loans and also wealth management programs. Is this something that's going to develop out into our world? We're not sure. Apple are launching Apple Pay, a competitor, which we'll see in the next few years. Will this develop out in the same way? And will consumer experience follow? Who knows? We know that China's government control a lot of what goes on here. And is it a way that China's government are trying to hold into what people's purchase habits are by understanding them better? We will never know. But fintech is certainly an area to keep an eye on for 2020. Other areas that China are really trying to be world leaders are things like blockchain, where they want to lead the industry standard across the world for blockchain technology. Things like 5G, which is going to be instrumental in how driverless cars operate. So if we think it's not just about download speeds of being able to download a film really quickly on your phone, that technology will enable driverless cars work in the fastest way without any disruption. It's not just those three areas that China are looking to lead the charge in terms of tech development worldwide. They are also looking at how to be industry leaders in terms of blockchain, 5G, and the impact that things like that will have on driverless cars. For me, I find it super, super fascinating, and I'm going to keep my eye on what goes on at the tech conference this week, and I will update you if anything else comes out. But keep an eye on China, because anything that's happening there, we will use and develop for ourselves in 2020. I want to say a massive thank you for listening to us this week. The topics that we've covered have been innovation, whether that be a lack of, or moving forward in worldwide innovation technologies, and also how to manage a PR disaster in a better way than the royals have. Thanks for listening. Please rate and subscribe, and we will see you next week.